On the show today, we are going to do something different. Since we won't be having a podcast this weekend due to a family vacation, we want to get our Elevation Easter service review done since we said we would review it. So that's going to be it for today, our review of Elevation Church's 2024 Easter service. All right, let's get to it.
Welcome in. This is Religionless Christianity. I'm your host, Spencer, joined as always by my beautiful wife, Nikki.
Hello.
So grateful that you are here. And if you're new, don't let the name fool you. We are not religionless, and the show is not religionless, quite Christian, but it's more the world and specifically this nation that we're in that is increasingly secular. It's a very religionless place. So that, at least in part, is where the name of the show comes from. But rather than discussing what we would normally discuss on our podcast, you know, how we can live a life that's pleasing to God in a religionless world, instead, like Nikki said, we're just going to be reviewing the Elevation Easter service. Now, the reason we're doing this review is first off because we said that we would. As we were talking about it a couple weeks ago, we mentioned that based on some of the things we were hearing, we wanted to review it and see what it sounded like. So this was really in response to Elevation Church's, I believe she was the digital content director, on an interview where she was saying that they're going to be, you know, their number one goal was to have people come to, basically new people come to the church. That was their number one goal for Easter, was to have, to invite people to church, basically. And so in response to that, they were really going to be working hard to craft the message for those that aren't, you know, regular church attenders, if you will. So let me just play a little bit of that, and then just so you can kind of get a, you know, recage yourself as to why we were reviewing this show in the first place.
And so how do I talk to those two people are really different. But I'm putting a lot of my focus, energy, time, resources toward what I would call the cold audience, as people far from God. And so I'm not going to say the word Calvary. I'm not going to say the word resurrection. I'm not going to say the blood of Jesus, right? I'm not going to say any of these words that make someone feel like an outsider. This is real.
So that was her, right? Saying we're going to sort of avoid all these terms that would make somebody who is an outsider feel like an outsider. So Calvary, resurrection, blood of Jesus. You know, so Nikki and I wanted to know what an Easter service sounded like when you avoid Easter specific words. We're like, that's got to be interesting. So let's give it a listen and we'll tell you what we thought of it. So that's what we're going to be doing today. So just let me say again, if you're new here, this is not something that we do regularly. You know, we're not trying to like build our show off the backs of famous pastors by just tossing them under the bus. That's not our intention here. You know, it's just when we see something that we think warrants further discussion, that's what we try to discuss. So if you're new here and you're like, oh, here we go, just trying to pile on verdict, that's not what this is. All right. And I think as you listen to the show, you'll realize that's not what this is. So just want to get that out up front. We're not trying to bash him just for clicks or whatever it happens to be. So as we get into this review or reaction, whatever you want to call it, what were your overall thoughts of the Elevation Church Easter service?
I was surprised that he was just reading the scripture and explaining it at first, just what it is. First, he wasn't trying to make anything out of it that it wasn't saying, like he usually does. So I was very moved by him just reading the text. And I noticed normally he's very hyped up, which he is later in the sermon. But when he was just reading the scripture and talking about what it said, he was actually really calm. And it seemed like it was like he was taking it serious. Like he believed what it said. It meant what it said. And he was so calm reading it. It was like I wasn't even listening to Stephen Furtick for a second. And it just got me really excited because I was like, maybe this is it. Maybe this is the moment he's going to just start preaching. Just him just reading the scripture was huge. Just reading through it. It was just such a blessing. And just reading scripture is so powerful. It's a sermon by itself, and you don't need all the fluff, all the stuff that he normally does, where a lot of, I say a fourth of his sermons are usually him telling people to repeat words or phrases.
And they did that in this sermon as well.
Yeah.
So it was still an elevation sermon.
Right. But in the beginning, it was really good. I mean, I think the overall message, I get what he was trying to say, but he just kind of, I don't know. He tries to add more, make it about your life and, but it's just about Jesus. So he was on the right track at first, and he was just kind of going off the rails a little bit near the end, but I don't know if that's what you were getting out of it.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's why we titled this episode, you know, their Easter service was something in between, you know, because that's what I took from it. It was partly really good, like Nikki said, you know, him. And again, you know, we don't watch a lot of Elevation services. You know, we've talked about Furtick a couple of times on our show, so we don't know a lot. Maybe this is just standard fare for what they do at Elevation Church. So if it is, you know, then kudos to them. But we don't watch a lot of them. So to see him sort of get to the stage, take him right to the word and just read through it, we're like, sweet, awesome. Like, I like where this is starting. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my first initial or really my overall thoughts just kind of watching this, because we reviewed an Easter service last year as well. This was not Transformation Church's 2023 Easter service. This was vastly better than whatever that monstrosity of heresy and blasphemy and all sorts of whatever you want to label it that Transformation Church did. This was a legitimate church service. And there was, you know, legitimate scripture read. There was preaching. You know, it might not have been your cup of tea as far as, you know, it wasn't our cup of tea and how preaching is done, but it was preaching. So all in all, you know, kudos to Stephen Furtick. You know, it was a legitimate church service. It wasn't a Transformation church. And then secondly, I just thought, like, it was a fine service overall. You know, I didn't hear the music leading up to it, all of that. You know, it was still an Elevation service, you know, like Nikki was talking about. You know, he'll kind of talk, and it's like there's a lot of crowd leading that goes on there. You know, he'll start saying something, repeat after me, and he kind of gets him going. And then he starts getting hyped, and, you know, this is kind of like a new trend, I suppose. Or maybe it's not new, but they do it probably better than most. They got the band back there while he preaches. So as he gets going, they start playing the music to, like, feed the crowd. Yeah. Like, yeah, baby, let's get excited right now. And then it comes back down. So there was a lot of that, which, again, not my cup of tea, but that's an Elevation Church thing. So I'm not going to knock that too hard. I just think overall, the message as a whole, not bad. Like, honestly, it was better than I was expecting.
Yeah, he preached the gospel at the end way better than I expected as well. I thought, you know what? Someone might be saved at this service.
Yeah, and we're going to get to that here in just a minute. But, you know, when you hear that lady talk about we're going to avoid Christian topics as a whole, you're like, what in the world is this going to sound like? But then you listen, you're like, yeah, not bad. You know, overall, something in between. So what, or was there anything that you liked about the Elevation Easter service?
I guess just scripture he brought up.
Yeah, I think they read from, what was it, Matthew 28, verses like 1-9, I believe is what it was. You know, the women going to the tomb.
It's important that he brought up, he's not on the cross, you know, he resurrected. So I like that he was really focusing on that, because that's what Paul and all who were preaching, that's why they were locked up, because they preached the resurrection. So I think it's very important to have that kind of be your main message you're trying to get across, and what that means. Not that he delved too deep into it, but yeah.
I like, certainly the scripture, you know, picked a good passage, right? It was on point with what it should have picked. And I will just say, as far as things I liked, you know, she said one of the things we're not going to say is resurrection. Well, as soon as the service opened, you know, basically essentially as soon as Furtick got on the stage, he yelled out like happy resurrection day. So maybe he heard some of the critiques and was like, I'm going to, you know, get in front of this right away. I didn't hear Calvary, didn't hear blood of Jesus, but he did say resurrection. So kudos to him on that. I will give, you know, like Nikki said, credit. They read from the resurrection account, which was nice. And I believe that we actually, like Nikki said, heard a pretty good gospel presentation, you know, kind of spread out over, you know, the whole service. I'm going to play one part of that right now because I think it was pretty good. So we'll give that a listen and come back.
Let's talk about God. Let's talk about Jesus since it's Easter. The cross was God's response to your sin. The stimulus was your sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And God's response to your sin could have been wrath. Instead, it was grace. The distance was fixed between me and God so that I could not come to him. His response, he came to me. The suffering was the stimulus. Forgiveness was his response. You starting to see what I'm talking about?
So, yeah, I mean, pretty good. You know, I like what he had to say there. Yeah. You know, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short, right? Like, that's the biggest problem with most of these Word of Faith churches is that they preach to you a message of God's love, what God wants to do for you. And then it's, do you want to accept Jesus? And you're like, man, you left off a really big part there.
Like, he kind of touched on depravity. Like, we can't come to God. We can't be righteous. So he touched on that. Like, there's nothing. He came to us. That's truth.
Yeah.
We can't make our way to him.
I like that. I thought it was really good. And then just to this, you know, as far as the sermon kind of thing, the more Stephen Furtick specific things, you know, guy's certainly a really good speaker. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that amazes me about like the Word of Faith sort of preachers, like none of them ever use notes, which is amazing. You know, like Joel Osteen, Stephen Furtick, you know, we watched that Priscilla Schreier sermon a few weeks ago, and they just go up to the stage, they read a simple Bible verse, and then they just like talk for 45 minutes. It's an incredible thing. Like, you know, we love John MacArthur, and you watch John MacArthur, the dude's been preaching for 55 years, written all sorts of commentaries, apparently knows the Bible quite well. And yet he goes up there with notes and stays to the notes every sermon. And yet, like, these guys just, it's incredible, I think, to see. But, you know, he's a very good speaker. The audience seems to hang on every word that he says, which is, I guess, good, so long as he's preaching good stuff. All in all, I don't think it was a bad sermon by the standard of some of the other things that we have heard. You know, there was no, like, outright like little gods or, you know, crazy kind of like Moses Moab month kind of things. He said some things in there I would disagree with, you know, but it wasn't anything outrageous, I would say.
Yeah.
Especially by Word of Faith church standards. So I think it was fine. Not my cup of tea, not a church service I would probably want to go to, but all in all, I don't think it was very bad. So was there anything specifically about the service you didn't like?
I don't know. I didn't like pin one thing down. I just don't like how hyped up he gets, I guess. And it's when he's onto some track of thinking, like, or an idea, and he's excited about what he has to say, and he doesn't get like that about the word and explaining the word. It's always some other thought he has when he gets all excited. So I think that's always the thing that bothers me with all of them, not just this one.
Right. You know, he kind of, like I said, the crowd hangs on his word or on his every word, and, you know, they get excited sort of when he leads them to be excited. And it's not always in the place where you maybe should be excited. Kind of a thing.
Too many analogies. He brings in too many other stories that really aren't necessary to explain the text, like talking about his shirt and Willie Nelson and visiting right, his
that's
mom.
That's really what lyrics. They like. You know, I think that's why I think a lot of people like the services that they go to, or like the Elevation style. I think that's what they want. I think they like those, you know, take the Bible and put it in a situation I'm familiar with, kind of a thing. And so, you know, while we don't like it, that's probably why they do like it, I would imagine.
Makes sense.
You know,
yeah.
But, you know, my biggest problem with the service is that even though the gospel was presented, I think, and presented pretty well, you know, he read the text, which was great. I think he still, by and large, missed the whole point of Easter and the resurrection. You know, so that's, again, why we're saying his sermon was titled, you know, he titled it Something in Between. And I think his sermon was Something in Between. It was something in between, like a proper Easter sermon, presenting the gospel, calling sinners to repentance, and then kind of like your typical word of faith.
He the Bible's did about turn you. It into God's about to do something for you.
Well, and that was the whole point of the sermon, right? The whole point of the sermon was, because that's why he called it Something in Between, is he's focused really on the part where the women come to the tomb, they talk to the angel, and the angel tells them to go to Galilee, and it says they were afraid, yet full, or something.
Full of joy.
Yeah, full of joy. So his sermon essentially focused on the yet. So they were afraid, yet full. And his sermon focused on yet. There's something in between where, you know, you're afraid, but God's going to do something. You're in the in-between right now. So again, read the text, but again, it devolved into it's all about you. What God's going to do in your life, how he's going to get you where he wants you to go. You just got to trust. You just got to do whatever. Rather than really just focusing on, holy cow, the gospels are true. Christ has risen.
Yeah.
What does that mean for us? And again, he did touch on it, but it kind of focused like, mostly on the in-between for you.
Well, it's what this you're life. Do. Like he always transitions it like, what's God going to do in this life, in our transition? You know, we're born again, but we're not in heaven yet. We're on the earth still. We still sin. So that in-between, it's what's God, what is God going to do in this life? Not what has he done that affects eternity for us?
Yeah, and it's like, you know, most of all word of faith kind of sermons, on its own, it's a fine thing to discuss, right? Hey, God's going to do things for you. If you just put your faith in him, trust in him, he'll come through. Like, sure, that's a good thing to discuss. But like, what is the text telling us? It's
right.
not telling us about how God's going to overcome your battles. It's talking about how Christ is risen. He is the Messiah. Our faith is secured. Our hope is secure. Like, so I gave him some praise earlier with the gospel presentation. I do want to play one clip just to sort of balance the scales, if you will, on something he said that I just certainly disagree with. So we'll play that and come back real quick.
I'm leaving this grave. Everybody in here has got a grave God is calling you away from. Everybody in here has got a place in you.
So he says there, everybody has a grave that God's calling them out from.
So he's making that connection with Jesus, right? I don't know.
I think it's just the idea of the in-between, right? You're in this grave. You're not still, it's kind of like you're not still in the grave, but you haven't yet fully come out of the grave. You're in between, right? That's kind of the whole point of his message. And I just don't think that's true, right? Because we know in Revelation that the total number of martyrs have not been fulfilled yet because Christ hasn't come back yet. So there are people who will not come out of that grave, right? We read of, you know, Peter and James, right? When they go to Jerusalem and, you know, King Herod, you know, he arrests and he murders James. He didn't come out of that grave. His life wasn't a failure. God didn't leave him. God did not love him. James fulfilled his calling from God. Peter was rescued by an angel in a miraculous way. He was not more victorious than James, right? So I think these are where the word of faith thing goes off the rails, right? It's a good message. We're preaching the gospel. We're talking about sin and repentance, and Christ did it for us. But then it delves into everyone's an overcomer. God's going to get you through every battle, onto every mountaintop. And you're like, that's just not true, man. And to tell people that and to sell them that bill of goods, mm-hmm. really just sets them up for disappointment. And, you know, we like to do, if you're new here and you don't watch our Saturday podcast, please come watch it. It's great. But we do Reddit Christianity. And a lot of times when I'm combing through the Reddit Christianity thread to find something, a question to discuss, there's always, you know, this happened. I can't believe God would let this happen. I'm losing my faith. Mm-hmm. And that's where this belief comes from,
yeah.
that God is supposed to make everything good and great. And when it doesn't, well, now you have a reason to question your faith. Where what the Bible actually teaches is that you will be hated, you will suffer, you will be persecuted, and count it all joy when you are, because so was your Savior.
Mm-hmm.
So will God rescue you miraculously? He can. He saved Peter out of the jail in a miraculous way. But in the same passage, James was murdered by the king. Two apostles, God loved them both. They both fulfilled their mission, but it looked vastly different, right? So mm-hmm. I think that's where word of faith always goes off the rails. You're not guaranteed to be a victor in this life.
Yeah, because they'll say, oh, if you're not healed or if whatever your situation is, then it's your lack of faith. So did James have a lack of faith? So yeah, he was murdered?
Certainly not.
I doubt it.
So that was the bad, right? As good as some of it was, it still devolved into what they preach, right? Word of faith, overcomers in all areas. So just not a big fan of that. But overall, closing thoughts. Do you have any kind of final thoughts here on the Elevation Easter service from 2024?
I don't know. Not really.
No? I just thought, you know, final thoughts was that, you know, if you found yourself, someone invited you and you found yourself at Elevation for Easter, or you were watching Elevation online, went to your mom's house, whatever, that's what she's watching, I think you could have done worse. You know, there were certainly worse Easter services out there than what Elevation put on. I would recommend other churches. There's still a lot of things that I don't like about the church and the message that they preach. But as we said, you heard the gospel. You heard that you were a sinner in need of a savior, and I'm happy about all that. Again, it could have been wrapped in a better package, but that's all, you know, preferences for the most part. I mean, some doctrinal things I would disagree with, but you could have done worse. So I just wish that there was more Christ and less about you and your mm-hmm. obstacles. But all in all, again, better than I hoped, right? We went into this mm-hmm. like, what does an Easter service sound like when you don't actually talk about Christian things? And they did. So all in all, thought it was fine. I think you could have done worse. And hopefully, if you heard the gospel there and you gave your heart to the Lord, praise God for that.
Yeah.
All right. No podcast this weekend, as we said. We're taking a little family vacay. We will have the family devotional on Sunday, though, Genesis 13. So please come give that a listen. That's podcast only. So come find us wherever you listen to podcasts. We're there. Religionless Christianity Podcast. And then we'll be back with the actual Saturday podcast on April 13th with whatever the world throws at us. But until then, yeah, come find us on the podcast. Come find us on social media. I still am going to be doing the daily devotionals, the short daily devotionals. So you can come give those a listen. Drop a like, subscribe. If you're on the podcast, you know, follow, leave us a nice 5-star review. Those things certainly help. But otherwise, go have a blessed day.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.